Good evening. Greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God for watching over the three fellowships of Truth BP Church, and we rejoice with you on this blessed combined fellowship to rejoice in the Lord. Joy is usually from the heart. We express the joy that is in our heart with our lips, by the way that we worship, by the way that we sing, Sunday after Sunday. But how many of us really believe in what we sing? Where every stanza of the hymns we sing has a very personal feeling behind it, where the words are really sung meaningfully with conscious deliberation. Many of us who have been believers for a season of time, coming to church, opening our hymnals, and then start singing, has become very ritualistic. It's more mechanical than a heartfelt expression of the joy that I have in my Lord. I hope that is not a description of any one of us, and yet, if it is, I believe we can still do something about it based upon this Psalm 135. Who the writer was, we are not told. But this was the beginning of the end of the previous section, which is usually known as a Song of Degrees, as you can see, where the Israelites would ascend Jerusalem to the temple to praise and to worship the Lord. And they had a lot of heartfelt memories as they ascend up. And they would sing these hymns that they have memorized. Remember, they don't carry the Bible like we do. Whenever they want to know God's word, they have to literally memorize God's word. And so for them, of course, it would be done in Hebrew. They would choose which hymn to remind them of the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, the protection of God in their going out and their coming in. As you know, Psalm 121 is a very, very wonderful psalm, a common psalm that we use when we send someone overseas and bid him Godspeed, that the Lord will protect and watch over the person. And well, if you have experienced the Lord's protection in your going out and your coming in, that will be the psalm that you're going to recite from the heart. As you reflect upon your son who have just returned from battle, or your husband who has just been working very hard overseas on a business venture, and now he has returned safely. He traveled from Galilee to some other place to do his business, and then now heard a lot about this danger, that accident, and now your husband is safe and sound. No communication, no handphone. So, when you hear of all these news and rumors of disasters, did it happen to my husband? He was in the vicinity. And then he came home safely. From the heart. And so when you look at Psalm 135, when you focus on the title, Rejoicing in the Lord, instead of praising the Lord, praising is the expression, outward, joy that is in you. You pick rejoicing. Or the committee pick rejoicing. That means it's about the inner person. So a person looking at you on Sunday, that's tomorrow, singing all those wonderful, wonderful hymns, pitch perfect, as loud as you possibly could, the person may think, oh, this is a very happy Christian, a joyful Christian. But you know better, isn't it? What is it within your heart? It's a personal relationship that you need to have between you and God. Because the praise, all the hymns are designed to praise God, not man. Not the praises of man that you find in all the hymns that are songs that are out there in the world. But this is all about God. And if we do not have a personal relationship with God that really causes us to be joyful inside, it's very difficult for us to keep on pretending, superficially singing like the choir, very, very carefully sung. All the notes are hit rightly. But did it come from a heart that had a very close walk with the Lord, and the Lord's presence is very real to you? Because that's exactly what we see from verse 1 to verse 4. The psalmist truly had joy in his heart as he praised the Lord because he experienced God's presence. Verse 1 to verse 4, God's presence. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, he shouts. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord, those who serve the Lord, those who are in Israel, in the business of the King of Kings, very busy doing the work of the Lord, farming for the glory of God, your business, looking after the animal for the glory of God, everywhere you go. They realized that they were in God's presence. It's the promised land, wasn't it? So if it's the promised land, can you imagine how you cannot envisage everywhere you go, the moment you wake up, that this is the land where it is always in God's presence. And I'm always in God's presence. So as I'm in the farm, working the field, planting the seed after I have tilled the ground under the hot sun, my wife with the children in the house, and here I am where the field is, looking after, planting all the seeds, looking after the family, I'm going to work hard, and then the sun keep on beating upon you. I am farming in God's land. The presence of God in our lives, something that we constantly forget. Isn't it? Even as when we serve, we forget that's in God's presence, because you see that ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Servants of the Lord standing. For them, of course, it's the physical house of the Lord, and it is in the courts of the house of God that will be the temple. Praise ye the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself, and Israel for his peculiar treasure. Presence of the Lord is something that born-again believers would appreciate and understand. Why did God describe in verse 4, the Lord hath chosen Jacob, using his old name, unto himself? And then in the second half of verse 4, he says, Israel as his peculiar treasure, special, very, very precious to me. A special treasure. Why? Because Jacob was an unbeliever, as you know, his journey. When God gave him this calling, I am the God of Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. You will continue on the messianic line. That's a summary on my part. That's basically it. No, you're not my God until you kept me safe. I'm on my way to Haran. You feed me, you clothe me. And then you bring me back safe. Because his brother, Esau, older brother, twin brother, murderous rage. That was how God met up with Jacob, usurper, as an unbeliever. And then now God says, you are now a believer, Israel. God chose Jacob when they were unbelievers. Make them believers. Make them the people of God. That's why you have to experience God's presence. And that is not possible if you are not born again. If you have not experienced how God saved you, like Jacob, usurper, a sinner, before he made you a child of God, Israel, God's people. Your singing may be very, very impressive to the outward man, but as far as God is concerned, you are just simply doing it no better, no different from all the choirs and singers that are out there in the world. The only difference is you are using my name. They don't. That's why in order for us to truly rejoice in the Lord, it always begins with salvation, grace and mercies. And the fellowship groups are designed for that journey of your life. The ministries of the fellowship are designed to be specific. And it is designed based upon age group. And different age groups face different challenges in life. Sunday worship is to the whole congregation. It's supposed to target the entire age range. But the fellowship groups, the leaders, they understand that in Singapore, in almost every part of the world right now, different ages have different challenges in life. And they can be very, very heavy and very onerous to all the different age groups. To the YFers, your study may be your primary focus. But then the pressure of your peers, the educational system in Singapore can be very, very challenging, to say the least. And those pressures that you encounter with such a young mind at such a young age can be very overwhelming. I remember at lunch, of the wedding of one of your church members. Father was a vice principal, invited a lot of fellow VPs to the wedding lunch, to the wedding. And so during the lunch, my wife and I, we sat with some of the VPs. Some of them were alone, some of them came with their wives. And so we had a chit-chat. And one of them said certain things that stick in my mind. And the thing that the person said was, in primary school nowadays, almost every school will have a counselor. Because children, they face problems and emotional issues that are devastating, that can result in them hurting themselves. And I believe that is very real. If they come from broken homes, they face a lot of problems in school where they have to fight against all their classmates in competition who would be better in their studies. And then when they come back home, you have mom and dad quarreling, fighting, and some might be even divorced. And the mother will be outside working while the children are usually left to their own, and maybe a helper will be there, or grandparent, whatever it is. Can you imagine how difficult it is for children to grow up never experiencing true peace? Never experiencing a place where they don't have to be afraid, to come home where they can really relax and not have to think of how to fight and how to compete, where the pressure of education in Singapore is completely eradicated. They are really playing. They are really children. Not a care, not a burden in life and in the world. That's how many of us grew up. I mean, for of us means people my age. In the 60s and 70s, we were still allowed to use the firecracker during Chinese New Year. You know that kind of period? Some of you young people don't even know what firecracker is. The firecracker that you hear is usually the electronic one. Pew, 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 pew. I remember, boys growing up, come home, just play and play. Finish my homework, mom, I finish. Play, that's it. Literally not a care in the world other than how to beat my brother in goli. You know goli, we don't have computer. Marble. And then we'll climb the mangosteen tree. And then we'll just simply play catching and run here, run there. Just free, like a bird. No care in the world. I think our children, they don't understand this. Not at all. And the games that they play with computer, some of them are not very savory for their mental well-being because a lot of killing, a lot of warfare, and sometimes parents because they are not at home. And this kind of competition in the virtual world is not helping. They compete in the school, they compete here. Where are they going to find that kind of experience that children are supposed to grow up carefree? Really, peace. Just relax. Because the moment you and I know, once we enter into the working world, to be carefree probably will be after retirement, right? And even after retirement, you're not that carefree because your body ache here, your body ache there, and then you think, maybe I got this sickness, I got this disease, and so where are they going to experience some period of their life where they are carefree and be a child? Very difficult. And so, Youth Fellowship was born to help you cope from a biblical perspective. And it all must begin with salvation. And for the young adults, same thing. You are now in a very significant crossroad of your life. bordering toward dependence and independence. Not just emotionally, but also financially. You'll be thinking of getting married, looking for a life partner, and then the moment you get married, if you are still staying with your mom and your dad or your in-law, not so bad yet, but the moment you get your own home and you move out, then the whole weight of adulthood will now heavily weigh on top of you, and it will not go away if you do not know how to live the life of faith. Trusting in God, where you continue to experience peace in your heart, because the Lord says, I take care of your physical, you just focus on your spiritual. Matthew 6:33. Joy in the Lord has to be sincere, and it has to be very, very much from the heart. And that cannot happen if you do not experience the presence of God in your life. And that is not possible without salvation. No, the presence of God is outside of our life everywhere. Creation speaks of the presence of God, right? That He exists and He's powerful. That is externally. But this presence of God has to be internally, inwardly. That's why from Jacob, I have chosen you, and then I made you into Israel. We were all once upon a time unbelievers, usurpers, sinful, self-righteous. But now God has made us into His children. And that's why rejoicing in the Lord comes from the heart, begins with the conscious understanding of God's presence in my life. And that will never, never, ever be taken away. And therefore you can have peace. You can really, really, sincerely, truly have peace in your heart. Everywhere you go, even in the school, that's the battlefield for young people. In your workplace, that's the battlefield for young adults and for adults. Everywhere you go, the peace of God can keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And then when you are very conscious of the presence of the Lord, every moment of every day of your life, and then on Sunday when you congregate together, praising the Lord, singing those hymns, those stanza, line by line, they become very meaningful. They're not just simply pronounced correctly, sing it without thought, without feeling, without conviction. It will be really rejoicing in the Lord. That's how the psalmist began. God, He is very much present in his life. Is He in your life? Did the Lord not tell us, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the world? You're never alone. He's always with us. That means, when you're naughty, He knows. So don't be naughty. If you're ever naughty, repent. He wants you to repent. He knows you're not perfect, but He knows that all who are truly aware of God's presence in their life will repent, because they want God to be pleased with their life and not angry with them. From God's presence, salvation, and then from verse 5 to verse 12, how did God describe this transition from Jacob to Israel? That's verse 5 to verse 12. So for us, God's presence means God must be personal. Oh, He's great. But the greatness of God must be personal in your life, where you experience His deliverance. You must. Verse 5. For I know that the Lord is great, the psalmist says, right? Because he was an Israelite. And that our Lord is above all gods. He's great. And all the gods that are out there, He is above them all. That means He is the Almighty, one living and true God, and beside Him there is none other. In what way? Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. So He magnified the greatness of God in terms of the domain of God's impact and influence. In heaven, God's greatness is there. He controls heaven. On earth, He controls. In the ocean, He controls. Everywhere, He controls. Not a place He does not control. His greatness That means whatever accidents, whatever issues that you may have, know that your God was the one who sent them and allowed them into your life. In other words, even in moments where externally you may be sick, you may be facing a lot of challenges in life, the joy of the Lord remains. It will not be taken away from you because of some external challenges, because your God is in control of everything that happens on earth and in the heavens. Sometimes we can rejoice in the Lord when outwardly everything is smooth sailing. Everything is good. That's easy. But when everything externally is no longer smooth sailing, will the joy of the Lord evaporate? Is it directly linked to the external? Or the inward joy that I have in the Lord is independent of the external circumstances? And in order for us to realize and understand that, the psalmist is very, very good to tell us that this God that you have a very intimate personal relationship with, that He is always in your presence, He controls everything in your life. And once you know and understand the sovereignty of God, your joy in the Lord is independent of the external. If it is not, then when your job is good, when your health is good, then rejoice. But when your job is gone, when your health is gone, I cannot rejoice. God doesn't want us to have that kind of joy. That kind of joy is of the world, directly linked to the external. But the joy of the Lord for believers are independent. You have a personal, intimate relationship with God, regardless of the external. And that relationship, because of Jesus Christ, who lived, suffered, and died on the cross for your sins. And that is permanent and eternal, unchanging. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Okay? And that's where we get rain, isn't it? He maketh lightnings for the rain and bringeth the wind out of His treasures. So where the rain clouds will be blown to, God is the only one who can control the rain clouds. Do you know that? You know, when you look up into the sky, clouds are a very unique feature. That's why in the book of Job, you realize that it is used to teach Job a lesson. When he demanded from God that, how can you treat me this way and suffer so much without first giving me an audience? Who are you, Job? You look up into the clouds. You see the clouds? You know, clouds are extremely heavy, you know, that they are not light, you know. It goes up, gets a state, right? Evaporates. As it gets higher and higher, the air gets colder and colder, and it begins to form into droplets. You just Google and check. How heavy are clouds? It's extremely heavy. Why are we not scared? When you walk under such a heavy, gigantic cloud up there above you, that it will fall down and kill you. I mean, it's heavier than the roof of this building. It's bigger, right? And we are not afraid. And it's so heavy, but it's so unique because a plane can fly through it. A bird can fly through it. And no one can move it except God by the use of the wind. Because it's, you can't hold it in your hand. Even though it's real, it's heavy, but you can't catch it and hold it and move it around like you move any object. That's our God. To show us how great He is. He sends the wind to send the cloud to wherever He desires. That I want the rain to fall on this place, the rain will fall on this place. I don't want the rain to fall on that place, the rain will not fall on that place. That's why He controls the drought and the famine, the rain. That's how great He is. He's your God. You're standing in the presence of a great God. That you must have a personal relationship with Him. In an intimate, good way. Not as a judge and a sinner, but as a child and a father who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. Now He becomes very personal, right? This is definitely only Israel. Personal. You see? Have you experienced a personal relationship with Him, knowing that you are standing in the presence of the Almighty? Smote the firstborn of Egypt, that's their deliverance, the beginning of their salvation for Israel, both of man and beast. Who sent tokens, signs, and wonders into the midst of thee, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and upon all his servants, and they perished. Smote great nations and slew mighty kings. There will be Og, Sihon, and all the kings of the land of Canaan, including Pharaoh, when they came out. Sihon, kings of the Amorite, Og, or Bashan, these were giants. You look at the size of their bed, I think they are bigger than Goliath, because the bed was 10 feet long. Huge. And all the kingdoms of Canaan, God delivered them and gave their land for an heritage unto Israel, his people. Personal. This was the psalmist's personal experience. Of course, it was not himself per se, except for the last verse, verse 12. But the rest was his history. He acknowledged how he became an Israelite. It is God's doing. They have a personal relationship with God. You must know that Truth BP Church, as a church, was born of God. Just like Israel as a nation was born of God. God was the one who gave birth to your leaders, placed them in Calvary Jurong when they were young teenagers, and then helped them to grow and mature. And then at the right time, when they were still very much alive and strong and vibrant, spiritually mature enough and with discernment to be able to see through the danger that the church faced, which they tried to protect, which they failed. And they realized that the only way was to start a new witness. They did not want their faith to be jeopardized. They did not want their children's salvation to be jeopardized. With teachers teaching them the Bible has mistakes. And so they came out. Out of the battlefield. Just like Israel came out of the battlefield, which was Egypt. By a strong hand, God brought them out. By a strong hand, God brought your founders, your leaders out to start this work and this ministry 20 years ago. You must be able to see the sovereign hand of God in a church, but then as an individual in your own life, personal relationship. And then God brought you into the fellowships, not by chance, not by accident, just like God brought your founders when they were your age, when they were teenagers. God brought them to Calvary Jurong. They did not know that years down the road, something like this would happen. God did. God did. And God placed them there with a love for the church and to help them grow in grace and in His knowledge, so that when the time came for them to take a stand, they took a stand. And that's how this church was born. Not an easy endeavor. To start a church means they are taking upon themselves the responsibility of looking after the lives of men, women and children redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You sure you want to take on that heavy load? Because one day, everyone in Truth BP Church that the Lord brought, they have to give an account to God and give an answer. How have you watched and fed and protected and nurtured and at times even needed to admonish my children whom I have brought into this church for your spiritual care? They took up that responsibility. The Lord weighed in their heart this burden 20 years ago, and that's how this church was born. And whatever they learned concerning what a church ought to be in terms of its her setup, they learned. And the importance of all the fellowships continued to resonate in their heart, knowing their own journey in the past, how they experienced from YF to YAF to AF in their own lives, and the blessings and the challenges that they encounter, they know the benefits and also the pitfalls. And they continue to have the same ministries for all of you. That it must help you realize and understand that you need to have a personal relationship with your Savior in order for you to truly rejoice. He is always with you. You are always in His presence. Please know that. The difference between out there in the world and inside the church every Lord's Day, you're always in His presence. Out there, it's a place of ministry. Except in your own home, it's a place of worship where Christ is head. Out there, the Bible tells us the God of this world, the devil himself is head. He's the God of the world out there, right? That's why you see the world is in this kind of state and shape. What's the devil's rules? What's the devil's agenda? There's no rules. His agenda is snuff out every Christian who earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Every church that is sound and good, that shine brightly for Christ, he will infiltrate and he will try to destroy. That's his agenda. That once you're inside the church, Christ must be the head. Because with Christ as the head, the Bible must be the only rule book. Not just in name, the Bible must be the only rule book where all the ministries are watched over, protected and cared for according to the scriptures. So that you will grow. Grow in the Lord that you may have, first and foremost, a personal relationship with Him. Because you now know that you are always in His presence. The difference is, in the church, you are in the presence of God as an assembly of God's children. Out there, you are in the presence of God, you may be all alone in your school, in your workplace. But the Lord is still there with you and for you, keeping you. And you need to know that because of a personal, intimate, close walk that you need to have with Him. That's why the psalmist basically gave a historical view in very short, succinct manner in these few verses. God, you are almighty. You control the heavens and the earth and the seas. And then you are the one who brought us out of Egypt. And you are the one who defeated all the kings, allowed us to enter into the promised land. And that's where we are today. Right? That's where we are today. He gave their land for inheritance and heritage unto Israel, His people. And that's where you are today too. In Truth BP Church. Similar journey, not exactly the same, because that's for the formation of the nation of Israel, but for us, it's the formation of the church witness. That's our calling. And that's what you must remember in order to praise the Lord from the heart. You're in His presence, so concentrate, don't fool around, pay close attention, and you must also have a personal relationship with Him. So that your words and your praises truly come from lips that are His children, not His enemy, His children. And for that, your relationship with God in Christ is the key. And then finally, verses 13 to 21, you have to experience His reality. Reality. Thy name, O Lord, endureth forever. It's eternal. The reality of the presence and existence of God is forever. And thy memorial, O Lord, throughout all generations. Memories, you see? Memorial. You can have memories of the presence of God in your life. That's why the reality of it. They're all linked from the presence of God to a personal experience with God. And then now, the reality of God is based a lot upon memories. Memories are based upon real life experiences, right? If memories are not based upon real life experiences, it's all made up. It's a figment of your imagination, correct? That's why the word memorial is used, to let us know how real God is. Your relationship with Him is very, very real. Memories. You have memories of how God has helped you, watched over you, communed with you. You prayed and He answered your prayers. Young people, young adults, adults, as you reflect, as you look back. And when you have genuine, sincere memories, praises, worship, flow sincerely from the depths of your soul, rejoicing because you can recall how the Lord helped you. You lost your job. You pray for 3-4 months. Your whole family pray for 3-4 months together with you and you with them. And then finally the Lord opened the door and you found a job. Can you imagine that kind of spiritual experiences and blessings? Your children will cry with joy of thanksgiving. God has helped Daddy found a job. And the whole family rejoice together. And then you have just tasted, perhaps for the first time, how close the family can be in the presence of God when they all pray together and they can see the hand of God together as a family. That kind of spiritual treasures are the memories. Then when you sing hymns about God's provision, these memories will be flooding your mind. True, it's true. God really provide. True? Isn't that how we rejoice in the Lord? In reality, genuine, sincere experiences with God, that you have plenty of memories of how the Lord, when you were this age, the Lord provided. And then when you have this age, that age, because for people my age, we have a lot of memories. Right? Different phases. Time that I have with my wife, before we were married, and before I met her, memories of the presence of God. And then when we got married, we struggled together when I was in FEPC. We struggled together when we were in America as I continued my studies. We struggled together when we have to bring up our children. All the many memories of our struggles and the presence of the Lord in our lives, helping us moment by moment by moment, obstacle by obstacle by obstacle. The Lord was there. And when we stumbled and when we fell, by our faithlessness, we murmur and we complain. He forgave us. He did not simply strike us dead and took us home. He continued to help us after we repented. He provided for us. Somehow, we do not know how, but He just simply provided. On many, many occasions, He just simply kept us safe. So many wonderful memories. For the Lord will judge His people and He will repent Himself concerning His servants. You know what that means? That means He will judge us. And then when we repent, He will also repent. That means He will be merciful and He will not destroy us. That's what verse 14 means. That's what was shared a moment ago. God doesn't expect perfection. That when He judges us, He knows we make mistakes. But then when we repent, He also will repent Himself concerning His servants. He will deal with us with mercy. You know God's standard when He set forth the nation of Israel. Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire at their first inaugural service. God sent fire and killed them. Subsequently, I'm sure there were many, many bad priests, like Eli, high priest, bad. But God did not strike him dead, did He? Immediately, He could have. Mercy. Same with when He founded and started the church witness. He set the same standard. Ananias and Sapphira, husband and wife, struck them dead straight away for telling lies. You sow all that you have, give a portion of it, giving the impression that it was everything. Why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Boom, dead. To tell us, every time you and I come to worship and sin against God, God could have done the same thing to us the way that He did to Ananias and Sapphira. But He did not. They're still around. Mercy, forgiveness, patience, long-suffering. He's real. That you are still alive. That's the evidence of His reality. You and I know how many times we have transgressed, and our transgressions are far worse than Ananias and Sapphira, right? And yet, you're still standing here, and tomorrow, by the goodness and mercies of God, we will be praising Him and worshipping Him. His reality in your life. The idols of the heavens are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. Of the heathen, I mean, not have a heathen. They have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. Do they have any relationship with them? Absolutely not. And yet God said, even though they have no relationship with them, because they can't see, they can't hear, they can't speak, right? How can they have a personal relationship with a piece of stone? that look like a face, that look like a person, but it's not a person. So no reality, no memories, no relationship. They that make them are like unto them. Eyes cannot see, ears cannot hear, mouth cannot speak. So is everyone that trusted in these idols. God is great. You're standing in His presence. He is real. He can have a lot of relationships with us, with His people, His children. And so the psalmist conclude, bless the Lord, O house of Israel. There will be the 12 tribes. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. There will be the priests. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. There will be the Levites that fear the Lord. That's the believers. Bless the Lord. As a nation, as those who serve the Lord in the tabernacle and the temple, and those who are truly born again, those who fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Bless the Lord, every one of you. Bless the Lord out of Zion, the place of God's dwelling place, which dwelleth at Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Praise is the outward expression of the joy that every born-again believer must have in their heart, knowing that you have a personal relationship with God, and the Lord did that by giving us His only begotten Son. He redeemed us with the price that you cannot even fathom. The price that He had to pay to take us out of the bondage of sin and make us into His sons and daughters, His children. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way, the only payment that He could pay to redeem us. And He did that. That is why those who are truly born again, it is your privilege and your honor and your ability to rejoice in the Lord from the heart. And that joy from the heart is expressed by the way that you praise Him with a conscious knowledge of what you are singing. And they all come from a knowledge of the presence of God in your life. It is personal and it is real. That's what the psalmist shared with us. And I pray and hope that this psalm describes you and me, our walk with God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, the world is a world of great sorrow, hurt, and pain because of the evil and the wickedness that continue to abound in every land. Help us, O Lord, as Thy blood-bought children, serving Thee in such a dark, dark, sad, and tragic, and sorrowful world, that the joy of the Lord may remain in our heart because of what You have wrought within us in the person of Thy only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whom You have sent to save us from the bondage of sin and to remove from our lives the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, and giving us the strength with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the love of God in our heart to overcome the dominion of sin and to experience the peace of God in our heart because You have pardoned us from the guilt of sin that can cripple any one of us. But because of Christ Jesus, we have been liberated. We have been freed from every stain of sin in our heart. Help us therefore to know Christ truly as our personal Lord and Savior, experiencing this wonderful, amazing, eternal forgiveness that You have bestowed upon all of us for Jesus' sake. And with the joy of the Lord in our heart, help us to praise Thee with lips and heart and mind that are one with the consciousness of Thy holy abiding presence in our lives, moment by moment, everywhere we go, whatever we are doing, Thou art with us, leading us, guiding us, holding our hand, and with this personal relationship that we have with Thee, every moment of our lives, we know how real Thou art for the many precious memories that we have of Thy abiding presence and Thy wonderful help in seeing us through and that of our loved ones as well. So we come, O Lord, to truly praise Thee and worship Thee because of the real joy that we have in our Lord and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.